Well, everybody, welcome to episode 224 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk some Ankeny Centennial baseball right now. My first guest is the longtime head coach of the Jaguars, and he has guided the team to a 22-2 record and a number one ranking in Class 4A. He is Mark High. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. One of the expectations were high for this team coming into the year. I think you guys were number two in the preseason rankings. You know, but did you think this team would be 22-2 at this point in the season?
We play in a tremendously difficult conference, so I have all the belief in this group. It doesn't surprise me that they're 22-2. I believe truly they're going to win every game that they play, and so it doesn't really surprise me at this point that we're here.
Well, your team got off to a 13-0 start, and none of those games was decided by fewer than three runs. So I was starting to think that, this might be a team that could go undefeated. But then you suffered your first loss on June 8th. You dropped a 5-1 decision to Southeast Polk. And then last Thursday, you guys lost the second game of a doubleheader at Urbandale 2-1. So both of your losses came on Thursdays. So is that the kryptonite for this team, just having to play on a Thursday?
Yeah, darn calendar. Like I said before, our conference is so tough. And if everybody that understands baseball in Central Iowa knows that, and there's just going to be days you go out, and in both of those instances we faced really, really good pitchers who had great stuff that day, and we battled, we had our chances in both those games. So that's just kind of what you're saying probably has some truth. We do play a busy schedule, and by the time you get to Thursday, it's maybe your 6th, 7th, 8th game of the week, and that could have something to do with it.
Well, I know for some teams, you get into that depth of the pitching staff, and that can be an issue. I don't think it's too much of an issue for you guys, but
no.
I know with some teams it certainly is. Being serious, though, this team has been really dominant. You guys lead all of Class 4A with a .346 batting average, and you currently have four regulars batting .340 or better, and that's led by catcher Nick Severson with a .531 average. But what makes this team so dangerous is that your lineup is so deep, and we talked about this a little bit last night after your doubleheader sweep over number 5 Dowling Catholic. Your number 8 hitter, Emerson Alberhasky, is batting .383, and he drove in the go-ahead run in the nightcap. And then your number 9 hitter, Cole Greider, followed with a 2-run triple. I mean, you guys just don't have any easy outs in your lineup, do you?
No, I think our on-base percentage for the 10 guys that are in the lineup most days are all over 400. So, we get guys on base anywhere in our lineup, and just really talented athletes that are competitors and are driving in runs and taking advantage when we get runners in scoring position.
Well, you have had to make some changes to your lineup over the last week as your leadoff hitter, Easton Miller, is nursing a minor injury. You elevated Isaac Brule to the leadoff spot, and your team really hasn't skipped a beat since. But Easton has been a huge part of your team's success. He's batting .333, and he's certainly one of the best defensive outfielders in the state. How's he doing, and do you expect him back this week at some point?
Yeah, I think he'll be in the lineup tomorrow. He's done a great job, taking care of himself, and I think he'll be back tomorrow.
Well, as well as you guys have hit the ball this year, an even bigger reason for your team's success has been the starting pitching. You guys have allowed only 44 walks and 38 runs all year, and you lead the entire state with a 1.20 ERA. You obviously have some talented pitchers with some very good stuff, and we'll talk about some of those individuals here in a minute. But has there been like a team-wide approach to pitching this year that has contributed to that success, or do you just attribute it to how good those guys have been?
Just how good those guys are.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing to do with you.
No, absolutely not.
Well, nobody has been more dominant than junior Joey Oki, who improved to 6-0 last night with a 3-hitter in the first game against Dowling. He lowered his ERA to 0.20, and he's now racked up 67 strikeouts in just 35 innings, and that leads all of Class 4A. Now, I know you've coached some other great pitchers in your career. Keaton McKinney was probably the best one that you've had, in your time at Centennial. But I don't recall any of your former pitchers, dominating like Joey has. I think his stuff is as good as anybody I've ever covered it, and that includes, a guy like Bench Sampson, who went on to play in the major leagues. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Joey's certainly very talented, and I have been very blessed. I've had a lot of great pitchers, Andrew Hedrick, back when I was coaching Ankeny, and
sure.
And I was here when Benj was here. That's how old I am. And you know, Joey just has stuff that you know, great run to his fastball, great moving on his slider. You know, Nick will tell you. You know, he's the one who has to try to catch that stuff every day. He'll tell you later how good that stuff is. But Joey's just ultra talented, and I'm very impressed every time I watch him throw.
Well, amazingly, you've had two other starters who have been almost as dominant as Joey. Easton Pratt is 5-0 with a 0.27 ERA, and Alberhowski has compiled a 4-0 mark with a 0.72 ERA. Now, based on what Oki and Pratt did a year ago, I don't think, you know, too many people are shocked by what they're doing, but Alberhowski went 2-3 with a 5.88 ERA a year ago. So how do you, you know, explain what he's been able to do this year? What's been the key to his success?
He just pounds the zone, and you know, his pitch counts, I think he threw 82 pitches in the 7-inning game last night. He just gets ground balls, he gets balls on guys' hands, he knows how to pitch, and you know, I think Easton Pratt's the same way. Two very, very intelligent young men who just really know how to pitch. And I'll give credit to Nick too, he calls the pitches, so
we'll talk to him about that
yeah,
too. So.
But I think just the approach our staff has and our catchers have in calling the game really leads to their success.
Well, record-wise, you guys are on pace to break the school record of 28 wins in 2019, and it seems likely that you'll have the best winning percentage ever. So would you say that this is the most complete team that you've ever had at Centennial?
Yeah, I think so. At Centennial, definitely. You know, I think their best is really just in front of them right now. They're really kind of coming into their own.
Well, of course, you were at Ankeny when they had that great team that I think only lost two games that year that they won the state tournament. I mean, do you see some similarities between that team and this one?
Yeah, I do. I do. A lot of confidence in what they do. Just like last night against Dowling, the feeling I think in the dugout all game was just we're going to win both games. And even though it was tight and close, just a lot of confidence from the guys that they were going to get the job done.
Well, yeah, those were two exciting wins that you had last night. You won the opener on a walk-off error in the bottom of the seventh, and then you had the rally in the sixth to win the second game. But I know you told me last night that you felt like it was good for this team to play a couple of close games like that where you have to find a way to win, because those are the type of games that you're probably going to have to win at the state tournament if you get there.
Yeah, you know, and we had a close one with Urbandale last week, and you know, we didn't come through, and I think they learn and grow from those experiences, and just in how to control their emotions and how to control how they approach each at bat in those close games. It's something that you can't practice. Yeah, you have to kind of run into it in a game. So it's always a benefit, I think, to be in tight games.
Well, I see that the sub-state brackets were announced on June 28th a year ago. So if the High School Athletic Association, you know, follows that same timeline, do you expect the brackets to come out next week maybe?
I think they're coming out next either Wednesday or Thursday.
All right. Well, you guys have obviously put yourself in a position to be a number one seed in your sub-state. And you know how important that is, because last year you guys made it to the sub-state final before dropping a 3-2 decision at Johnston, which went on to win the state title. You know, you feel really good about this team's potential to make it to state, considering how good Joey has been on the mound. And if he throws like he has been, I mean, you might not have to go any further than him on your pitching staff, right?
Yeah, well, we all know that tournaments are funny, and when you're in a one single game elimination, you know, strange things can happen. So we'll certainly have all our pitchers try to get them the work that they need in between in case we need a bullpen. But Joey's our guy, and we have a lot of confidence in him and believe in him.
One of the team's ultimate goal is to get to state and then to win it. But before you can do that, you've got a conference title to win. You guys currently lead the league with a 14-2 mark, but number three Johnston is right on your heels at 13-4, and you got a big doubleheader coming up on Monday at Johnston. And I know you've got some other doubleheaders to play as well, but obviously the one on Monday could go a long way towards, you know, determining who's going to win it, can't it?
Oh, definitely. But we just believe if you play your game and play well, things like conference championships just they take care of themselves, or they don't take care of themselves. It's just you just go out and try to play every game and win every game you can.
Well, when you look at Class 4A as a whole, four of the top five teams in the rankings are from your conference. And, of course, last year Johnston beat Dowling in the final, and Waukee Northwest was also a semifinalist. You guys have seen number six Cedar Rapids Kennedy because you played them earlier this year, and number two Cedar Rapids Prairie is having a good year as well. Do you think those teams are capable as well of making it around the state tournament?
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing that all those teams have in common is really solid pitching. And you know, the old saying that good pitching beats good hitting, you know, a lot of times runs true when you get to those postseason. And when you get into a short tournament, I think we play Tuesday, Thursday, Friday would be the three games you would play at state. And so you have to at least have three starters to win a state championship. You know, and all those teams have that ability. They're very deep in their pitching staff. So it's a very competitive 4A field this year, no matter who gets to the state tournament. And, you know, it's just a very deep year.
Well, you'd have to take your trio of starters up against anybody, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, you guys have been so solid in every facet of the game, you know, hitting, pitching, defense. And you mentioned that the tournament can be funny. It can just be a one-game scenario where weird things can happen. But, I mean, if you guys just go out and play your game, I mean, you got to like your chances.
Well, that's our plan, you know, is just to keep working and you know, just getting a little bit better each day and taking advantage of days that we have practice and taking advantage of game days and just trying to get a little bit better each time we're out there and let, you know, let our play on the field take care of what needs to be taken care of.
All right, Mark, well, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the year.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Yep. All right, well, my next guest is a senior catcher for the Jaguars, and he has been on the podcast before. He leads the team with a .531 average and 8 doubles. He is tied for the team lead in home runs with 2, and he has also knocked in 21 runs. He is Nick Severson. Nick, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You know, it seems like the season is going by really fast. Does it seem that way to you?
Yes, it does, and especially with our last, like, full week being next week, that's kind of crazy to think, but I think we got like 10 games or 12 games left, and that's still a lot in a short amount of time. So,
oh, for sure. Well, Coach told me recently that one of his reasons, or one of the reasons for your success at the plate this year, is your ability to sit back and wait for the pitch. You know, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I kind of struggled with it last year, and I kind of changed my approach last year into this year, and I felt very comfortable with how I'm swinging it this year. So,
do you have the same approach at the plate for every at bat, or does it kind of depend on who the pitcher is and what they're throwing too?
I have the same approach every at bat. The only time I kind of change anything is a 2-strike approach. I kind of take away my step and I kind of just sit on my back hip, and that's all there is to it.
We had one of your team's only 2 hits in the first game against Dowling last night. The Maroons left-hander Caden Marceau was really efficient. He needed just 75 pitches to go the distance. What was making him so tough?
Yeah, I grew up playing with Caden, and he's always been a strong lefty. I mean, from last year to this year, he's shown major improvement. I think told me he put on like 25, 30 pounds, and I mean, he's going up to Upper Iowa, so he threw that curveball on an 0-2 count. I mean, he got up on you early, and from there, he could just kind of throw any pitch he wanted to. And
well, it makes any pitcher tough if they can get ahead 0-2, right?
Right.
Well, I think it was in the 6th inning when you really got a hold of one, but you flew out to the warning track in center. I know it's really hard to hit the ball out of your park, but did you think that one might have a chance to go out?
No, I kind of knew it wasn't going to go out. The wind was kind of blowing straight left, so I had one earlier in the game later in the game as well. It was foul, but that happens, and that's baseball.
We then went 2-for-4 with a double in the nightcap as you guys completed the sweep with a 5-1 win. You know, do you think it was good for your team to have those 2 close games against a quality opponent?
Yeah, and that's, like Coach High said, that's what's going to need. We're going to need that to move on into state and eventually the state championship, even sub-state finals and all that stuff. You're going to be in close games and nothing's going to be given to you.
Well, for the season now, you've drawn 9 walks while striking out only 4 times, which is tied with Lucas Brule for the team lead in the best walk-to-strikeout ratio. Do you take a lot of pride in your ability to make contact, and do you think maybe that's why Coach has you in that number 2 hole?
I do, and I don't like walking. As funny as that sounds, I don't like striking out. So wherever the ball is, no matter what, I'm going to try and find a barrel on it. And whether it's a flyout or not, as long as it's a barrel, that's a successful at bat for me.
Now, can you remember the 4 guys that struck you out this year?
Oh, I know it was early in the year, but that's all I know.
All right. Well, I know you're used to catching both ends of doubleheaders, but it did get pretty warm last night. Were you pretty tired by the end of the night?
Yeah, I wasn't tired. My trainer, Alyssa, she does a great job. She's always got a little kit for me as soon as I walk into the dugout, and that helps me tremendously.
Well, you've obviously played a key role in the success of the pitching staff this year because you do call all the pitches. Both of the starters last night, Joey and Emerson, were able to go the distance again. And I know Joey told me last night that his location wasn't the best in that game, but it did get better as the game went on. And I wasn't there for the second game. How would you rate to Emerson's stuff last night?
Emerson's stuff was great. I mean, Last year, I think he kind of struggled a little bit with his mental part on the mound, and this year he comes out and he's confident with any pitch, and I'm confident with calling any pitch for him. Last night, he was up quite a bit, like 0-2, like Caden Marcel was, and he could just throw anything in the dirt or outside, inside, jamming people, and he was just getting little dinky flyouts and strikeouts in the dirt, and it was just impressive.
Well, Joey obviously has electric stuff. You know, he's averaging nearly 2 strikeouts per inning. He had 9 more last night, and the biggest one came in the top of the 6th inning when the Maroons got a runner to third with 1 out. Joey told me afterwards that he was confident that he could get out of that jam, and I'm sure you were too. But you definitely needed a strikeout in that situation, and you were able to get it. Do you remember what the pitch call was on that one?
I think it was a slider, but that was his main pitch last night. He's kind of struggled with his fastball, but whenever he struggles with one pitch, there's always 2 or 3 other pitches that he's throwing better than I've ever seen.
Well, you guys will host a doubleheader against Valley on Wednesday, and then you'll be playing in the Pawnee Classic this weekend. We talked with Coach about the upcoming doubleheader at Johnston on Monday that, you know, could go a long way toward determining the conference title. How important is that to you and your teammates to win the league crown?
It's pretty important. I think the whole team remembers last year, Ankeny, they beat us to win the conference championship, and they celebrated on our home field and all that stuff. And I think that's kind of a chip on our shoulder we've been playing with, and we want to go out there and win conference.
Well, speaking of Ankeny, your team will host the Hawks next Wednesday, and that will be your final Jag-Hawk game, unless you guys would happen to meet in the postseason. You know, you still get a little more fired up for those games than the others?
Oh, yeah, always. They've kind of given it to us the past couple years as we were a young team, and they were a very, very, like, skilled older team, and I feel like now we have the upper hand on them, but they're still a very, very solid team, and hats off to them.
Well, they showed last night, you know, they did win one game against Johnston, so they could be dangerous. And it is possible that you guys could see them in the postseason. You know, it looks like your team will likely earn a number one seed, and because of Ankeny's 12-14 record, you know, they're not going to get a number one seed. They're going to have to play somebody. I mean, would you like that chance to play them again?
I think that's crossed a couple kids on the team's minds, but who knows? I hope they get into a sub-state seeding where they have a chance at making it to state, because that'd be pretty cool, an Ankeny matchup at state.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm sure you feel like, you know, you have a team that could win a state title, but you have to get there first before you can win it, and Centennial is trying to make state for the first time in school history. You know, so you guys aren't going to overlook anybody in sub-state, are you?
Yeah, that's kind of been the goal of ours since last year, is just make it to state. No matter the outcome, we just want to make it to state and give something back to the school that they've done so much for us.
Well, I know you're headed to Iowa Central next year, so you've got bigger and better things, you know, in your baseball future, but there would be no better way for you and the other seniors to go out and then to win a state title. What would that mean to you to accomplish that goal?
That would mean a lot. I mean, we got like around 8 or 9 kids that are seniors that are committed to colleges, and that'd mean a lot going into your freshman year in college, knowing that you just won a state championship. You got to be on your high horse in that fall season, which will probably lead you to do and have more confidence at the plate.
Well, you guys have had a great season thus far. I think the rest of the year is going to be fun as well. So, hey, good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest today is a realtor, Coldwell Banker. She's been on the podcast many times before. We usually schedule this in advance. We kind of did a last-minute thing today, but she's Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for stopping by. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, you've had a busy day. You were telling me that you were taking a new client out to look at some homes, somebody who's going to be teaching at Centennial. We don't need to give the teacher's name, but was the person impressed with the selection of homes in the area?
Absolutely. Definitely impressed. Definitely impressed from coming from his market to this one, and also how quickly things are still moving. So he said, I guess I have to make a quick decision, and it works for everybody.
Sure. Well, you mentioned how busy you've been, so obviously things are going good right now, huh?
Yeah, I really think there's a push. I know people don't think like we do in the real estate world, but every transaction's 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. So if you're out looking and, you know, the traditional time to close on a conventional loan is, you know, to that 30 to 40 day sweet spot. So we're already almost to the end of June. I hate to say it, but you know, August is going to be here before you know it. So we're thinking about back to school and you know, prime building. You drive around the city and are impressed daily with, you know, the growth. We continue to expand and lots of basements going in, a lot of sod being watered right now too. So yeah, blessed. with business.
When I mentioned your client is coming here to become a teacher, you know, and this town's growing so fast, I'm sure there are people moving into town, you know, the kids entering school this year. I mean, have you seen a lot of that? People moving to town so their kids can go to school here?
Yes. And I know there's some plans with the school district too, and, you know, changing up the grades, you know, for the high schools and merging, and some also new elementary school also been announced here in Ankeny. But yeah, the school, the class sizes are getting bigger. There's such a need for that. But yeah, it's impressive.
Well, we didn't really plan any questions for today, but you mentioned the Prairie Trail district. You want to talk about that development a little bit?
Yeah, we're doing a really big push over there. We've got we've got one remaining home site over there for MJ Properties on Vintage Parkway. We're located right across the street from the new Prairie Trail Sports Complex. If you haven't had a chance to go down and see those phenomenal buildings going up for indoor sports, and you know, we have a lot of competitive sports and you know, practices and places, and a need for that too. So we're filling that. But we've had some great priced lots available for a few years now. And we decided, you know, our goal was to build out market spec homes. And we've got four under construction right now. We have a beautifully completed model home that is for sale. We had it staged. So a shout out to Green Door Staging for helping us with that. Just highlighted that for local realtors last Wednesday. Had a great turnout, almost 30 agents and, you know, cooperating brokers right here in town that came to visit. But smaller ranch plans, and I don't mean small as not livable, but anywhere between that 1,500 to 1,600 square foot main level, and then finished basements, unfinished basements, 2 and 3 car garages. We also took a chance and did a slab home over there, sold it just at the slab foundation stage. Again, there's a need for those homes to people that don't want to maintain a basement, but want to really be close to their growing families and extended families there in Prairie Trail, and maybe live somewhere else primarily during the cold winter months. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe how that area has grown. I had to take that detour to go by there for the first time a couple weeks ago by those sports complexes, and I just can't believe how that area has just exploded.
I laugh when you say detour. I think everywhere around the city right now is detours. But completing those buildings, I think the communities wrap their arms around that just like anything. And we still have the cheapest taxes in the metro area. I know people don't believe it. I know several are protesting their taxes right now, or we have recently. But yeah, we've got some great infrastructure, new restaurants, you name it. So people really want to be here and be part of it. So that's exciting.
Well, if anybody's interested in taking a look at those homes, I know how you like to enjoy getting calls out of the blue. So if anybody's interested, they can give you a call. What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on the Coldwell Banker website. Again, Rhonda Dix, or 515-975-3735. Send me a message or a text.
All right, Rhonda. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny Centennial Baseball Coach Mark High, along with senior catcher Nick Severson, and Coldwell Banker Realtor Rhonda Dix also stopped by. I appreciate the time from all those folks. I'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.